Welcome to the Howie Silbiger Show on the True Talk Radio Network. Get in on the conversation. Call 1-877-669-1292.
And welcome to the Howie Silbiger Show. My name is Howie Silbiger, and this is the show. You can feel free to call in. Number to call, 1-877-669-1292. That's 1-877-669-1292. I'll just put the number up on the screen. For those of you watching, I'll put the number up on the screen. Feel free to call in. 1-877-669-1292 is the number to call. It's been a pretty eventful day here in Montreal, and I just wanted to go over some of the things that happened, and let's talk about it a little bit. So we woke up this morning hearing that the Beth Tikva Synagogue in Dollard des Armeaux, a suburb of Montreal, has been firebombed for the second time in 14 months. The synagogue is the only Orthodox synagogue in that neighborhood, and prayer services today were held outside as the synagogue's entrance was taped off. As a Molotov cocktail was thrown through the window of the front door. The synagogue was the target of a Molotov cocktail in November 2023, a month before Hanukkah, and today's attack is just about a week before Hanukkah. So it's about the same time period of the year. Rabbi Mordechai Zeitz is the rabbi emeritus at the Beth Tikva, and he told the Montreal Gazette that he is sad to see this happen again during a season of brotherhood and celebration and family and unity. This is the quote. "We can have a difference of opinion by discourse, not disgusting acts," he said. Beth Tikva is a synagogue that's attached to a school, Hebrew Foundation School, an elementary school in the West Island of Montreal. And it's also attached to the West Island offices of Federation CJA. The police arrived around 3 o'clock in the morning after receiving a report of a fire outside the building. They quickly extinguished the flames with a fire extinguisher and found the remnants of a crude firebomb. A window was smashed, the surrounding walls blackened, and the entrance smelled of smoke by midday on Wednesday. During an inspection at 7:20 a.m., police discovered two windows were smashed in the Federation CJA building across the street. No firebombs were found in that building, but the building was damaged. Police spokesperson Veronique Dubuc said that witnesses reported a suspect at the site before the arrival of police. There are no injuries reported, and investigators will examine the surveillance cameras in an effort to determine the circumstances leading to the fire. Investigations to find the suspects began on Wednesday afternoon. Police spokesman Marianne Alain Morin said police are investigating whether the attacks may lead to hate and mischief charges. No suspect was found in the November 2023 attack due to lack of evidence. Henry Topaz is the Beth Tikva cantor, and he's also B'nai B'rith Canada's regional director for Quebec and Atlantic regions. His quote is that the incident is a terrifying reminder that Montreal is increasingly unsafe for Jewish people. This is the result of failure of leaders of all levels to hold accountable those responsible for the hate and violence that's infesting Canadian society. Specifically, the mayor of Montreal, Valerie Plante, must act now to stop the exponential rise in hate and anti-Semitism, which she has permitted to get out of control in Montreal. That's the quote from Henry Topaz, the cantor and the regional director of B'nai B'rith Canada. Federation CJA president and CEO Yair Slack said that despite the incident, the Jewish life in Montreal will continue to thrive and will continue to attend our Jewish schools and synagogues proudly. However, Slack did note that in the last 14 months, this is the seventh instance where a Jewish institution has been targeted in Montreal, and the second time these particular institutions are targeted. Here's his quote. "Let's not mince words. This is a stark reminder of what happens when politicians fail to carry out anti-Semitism and call out anti-Semitism and prevent the escalation of violence on our streets. We call on Mayor Plante to act immediately to crack down on the unacceptable rise in anti-Semitism in Montreal. Our community is outraged, and should all Quebec citizens. We expect the authorities to treat this incident with the highest level of care and consider all likely motives. Enough is enough." So he also said such attacks. I'm sorry, he didn't say that. Michael Levitt from the Friends of the Simon Wiesenthal Center said such attacks cannot be ignored or dismissed as isolated incidents, nor can we allow these attacks to become the new normal. We call on authorities to conduct a thorough investigation, hold perpetrators accountable, and take immediate action to address the growing threats faced by the Jewish institutions and individuals, and so on and so forth. So many Jewish leaders came out and gave lip service, saying, blaming the politicians for the attacks on the synagogues. To me, that's passing the buck. And it's unacceptable that Jewish leaders are passing the buck. Yes, politicians have to get tougher and pass tougher laws to prosecute haters and people who commit horrific crimes against different minority communities. That is true. That has to be done. But Jewish leaders are to blame too. For years, the Jewish community has ignored the threat of anti-Judaism. For years, we've allowed anti-Jewish sentiments to fester on university campuses. For years, we've allowed students to go to campus, go to school, scared to show any identifiable trace of Judaism. And for years, we've sat back. Jewish leaders have sat back and allowed people to spew hate and have funded organizations claiming to be fighting this. They've done this for years. Our Jewish leaders have shown weakness. We are a weak, weak nation. We are a weak community. And I know people hate when I say this in publicly, and they've hated that I've said this publicly for the last 20-odd years. But the truth is that we are a weak community. The truth is that our Jewish leadership is doing nothing to protect the community. Oh yeah, they're spending millions of dollars putting in half-assed security systems into buildings. That's not enough. That's definitely not enough. The Jewish community has not trained anybody to protect themselves or to protect their families. They have not trained anybody to stand and protect their synagogues. Yeah, they have a couple of volunteer security guards who are trained. It's not enough. They have not insisted that Jewish community schools install in their schools martial arts training so that kids could learn how to defend themselves. They have not organized training for martial arts for self-defense in any of their Jewish institutions, organizations. They continue to say that we could live peacefully with our neighbors who hate us and want to continue attacking us. They have not organized demonstrations and protests and encouraged the entire community to come out to protest, to reclaim the streets after Jew haters marched through them. They've sat on their knuckles and done nothing. And I know Jewish leaders will be all upset with me. Oh, Howie Silberger said this again. He's been saying this for years. He's a wacko. He's a nut job. He's a far-right crazy guy. That's what they've called me for years. But the truth is they've done nothing to help. They've allowed this to fester for so long that now it's bubbling over. Oh, yes, backdoor diplomacy, they say. That's the best way to get things done. Sometimes front-door diplomacy is even better. Sometimes showing that we're a strong community and we're not going to tolerate it as a community. We're not going to sit on our laurels and allow our buildings to be burned down. We're not going to sit on our laurels and allow people to throw firebombs into our synagogues and schools and to take pot shots, gunshots at our schools. We're not going to allow that to happen. The community's done nothing. Nothing at all. I'm the principal of a school that was shot twice in our community, in our Montreal Jewish community. How many Jewish community leaders reached out to our school? Zero. The Hasidic community leaders, yes. Federation CJA? Not really. Why? Was there a Jewish demonstration in front of our school saying we support you? No. Was there a Jewish demonstration in front of Talmud Torah after they were shot, same day we were shot? No. We don't reclaim the places that are stolen from us. We don't stand up for ourselves. We're a weak nation. We're a weak community. And we have weak leadership. But why are we surprised by weak leadership? Why are we surprised by this? our leadership, especially in our major Jewish organizations, the organized Jewish community, as they like to call themselves, the leadership of these communities are chosen by who has more money in their wallets than who's actually competent and capable of doing the job. If you can't give a $10 million donation, forget about becoming anything notable in the community. How scary is that? Rich people get the prestige, the comfy positions, the presidencies and the chairmanships because they have money and they can give more money to Federation and pad the war chest of Federation more. And these are the people who are making decisions on how to best treat our community, how to best service our community, how to best protect our community. And while some of the work they do is excellent work, Federation does excellent work in certain areas, they shouldn't be responsible for the entire community. They shouldn't be responsible. But they choose to be. So if you choose to be, step up to the plate. If you choose to be the responsible party and the party that wants to run the city, it's no problem. Step up to the plate. Tell us that you are going to start immediately training the community, the entire community, not just their kids, but the entire community. They're not even doing our kids, but the entire community in self-defense. Tell us that we're going to build a Jewish army in the city that's going to protect our institutions and protect our schools and protect our children and protect our elderly who are vulnerable. Tell me we're going to do something that's going to help placate the Jewish community, help calm the community down, help alleviate the fears of the community, help level the playing field for university students. But no, they're not going to do that. What they're going to do is release a strongly worded tweet. We condemn this. We're saddened by this. We encourage the mayor of the city of Montreal to look at the situation and reevaluate the situation. We encourage the police to take more active role in catching and stopping the perpetrators. That's what we do. We send out strongly worded tweets. And the inner community, who's been attacked as many times as the Jewish community has been attacked in the last 14 months, would be rioting in the street. Any other community leaders would be standing on anywhere they can, screaming and yelling about the injustice of their community being attacked continuously and the police doing nothing. The only community that doesn't do that, the only community that remains silent, is the Jewish community. A drug dealer who is dying of a fentanyl overdose in the United States and was accosted by the police while he was dying of a fentanyl overdose. His death caused 5 months of riots that destroyed major cities in the United States because people felt that there was an injustice done because community leaders did what they had to do. They told their communities, we're not going to take it. Let's get on the streets and show that we're not going to take it. Now, forget about the corruption that was involved in Black Lives Matter. Forget about the crimes and the criminal activity that happened during those months that they were in the streets. The fact is, there were community leaders, there were grassroots people who got up and said, time to take the streets. We can't. This is intolerable. We can't do this. There are no Jewish leaders like that. And I'll tell you why. There's a good reason there's no Jewish leaders like that. Because organized Jewish communities, the liberals of the community, ostracized these people. They made them into radicals. They called the police on them. They called the feds on them. They harassed them out of action. So no normal person has enough money to take on Federation, to take on B'nai B'rith. So people who were out in the streets and who were trying to help and trying to train people to protect the Jewish community were chased away by the Jewish community, were degraded, dishonored. And so they don't exist anymore. They don't want to put their names forward anymore. Normal people don't want to step forward anymore because they're afraid of the wrath of the community. Because God forbid somebody in the community should have a little power that Federation doesn't have. That's what happened. That's the honest truth. Believe it or not. A lot of people say, Howie, you're exaggerating, but I could tell you story after story about things that happened to me personally. Whether it be on my radio show, because of my radio show, as a result of things I did on my radio show while I was on AM. They don't bother me too much on the internet, but when I was on AM, they were very scared. Or whether it be stuff I did in my youth and the community's reaction to that stuff. To me, it's despicable. And there should be a grassroots movement that's going to get up and say, we're not going to take it anymore. This is one synagogue. This is the last straw for us. Because now the synagogue is being bombed while it's empty. But we already saw last week, or was it a week and a half ago, a synagogue bombed when people were in it. How long until that happens in Montreal? How long until somebody has to get killed? Somebody gets killed. And I suppose somebody has to get killed in order to initiate change. That's usually the way it works. They won't put an alarm system in to your house until you get robbed. So somebody has to die in order for us to initiate change in the community, in order for the community to wake up and realize that this is not a game. We're not playing here. Our enemies have said they want to kill us. They want to destroy our communities. They want to burn down our buildings. We should take them seriously. But no, not our community, not the Jewish community. No way. All right, moving on to the next item. The former owner of the Second Cup Cafe in the Jewish General Hospital in Montreal, her name is Maya Abdul-Hadi. Maya Abdul-Hadi. She was caught on video at a pro-Hamas rally telling Jewish protesters that they were going to meet the final solution. And that, do you remember what the final solution was? It's coming for you. This is what she told them. Now, of course, she was the Second Cup franchise holder for the Jewish General Hospital. The Jewish General Hospital had two Second Cup cafes in the hospital that were the highest grossing Second Cup cafes in North America. Well, Second Cup did what they were supposed to do, and they shut down, they removed the franchise from Maya Abdul-Hadi. And they shut down the cafes in the Jewish General. They've been reopened under new ownership. But they shut down, then they removed the ownership from Maya Abdul-Hadi. And she was arrested today for her hate crimes. And hopefully she will be prosecuted. And hopefully she will go to jail for promoting hate and promoting genocide against the Jewish people. It is extremely dangerous. And I don't understand it, and I don't want to come across as sounding racist, because I'm really don't have an idea of racism. That doesn't really enter my thought process. But what enters my thought process is danger. So there are many, many, many Jewish caterers, restaurants, and institutions that allow people who come from countries that don't necessarily love Israel or the Jewish people to work in them, to work with food that's being served to the Jewish community, and to work and to own businesses like Maya Abdul-Hadi, who owned a business at the Jewish General Hospital. And we allow these people to service our community, to serve our community in different ways. And just on a security thought, just a thought about security, it seems kind of ridiculous that we invest millions and millions of dollars into security guards and safeguarding our buildings, and then we open up the catering hall and allow these people to come into the catering hall, and they could do pretty much whatever they want. Now, I'm not saying that the waiters and the kitchen staff that work for caterers are terrorists. I would never say that, nor would I even imply that. But what I am saying is, and I'll quote Rabbi Meir Kahana, I don't hate all Arabs, but I don't know which one wants to kill me. And therefore, I have to be careful with all of them. And that was his quote. And it kind of rings true when you think about it, that I don't know who wants to kill me. It has been so publicized. It's been so expressed that there are people out there who want to kill us, that it's hard to tell who is good and who is bad. And so if I have a bucket of tomatoes and I'm looking at this bucket of tomatoes and I know that there are three or four tomatoes in the bucket that are sour, but I don't know which ones are sour, I'm not going to eat any of the tomatoes in the bucket. And that's really the way I see staffing. If you have a catering house and you're going to hire people who come from countries that don't necessarily like Jews and don't necessarily like Israel, I don't understand how you can employ these people. And I don't understand how, in a security conscious way that we are, because our synagogues are being bombed and our schools are being shot at, how do we know that our food's not being tampered with? And this is what scares me. And that scares me more than shooting at a school or bombing a synagogue. That could damage a whole lot more people. That's for sure. So it's interesting. It's just an interesting thought. I don't think this is ever going to change. I don't think we're going to convince the caterers to change their staff. And I don't think that that most people who employ people aren't going to look at where they come from and make their decisions on employment based on where the person was born or where the person immigrated from. I don't think that's going to happen, even though I think it should. I don't think it will, because nobody wants to be looked at as racist. Oh, you're a racist. You didn't hire him because of his nationality. That makes you a racist. It's only okay to hate somebody if they're Jewish. In our society, that's the only time it's okay to hate somebody. You could walk through the streets in Australia, you're screaming, you know, enslave the black people, you'll be arrested. But if you walk down the streets of Australia yelling, Gaz the Jew, which they did in Sydney, Australia, in front of the Sydney Opera House, then the police won't bother you. So you see, you can't say enslave black people, and you can't say, you know, kill Chinese people, because that will get you arrested for inciting hatred. But saying, Gaz the Jews, that's okay. It's totally acceptable. And it's totally acceptable in Canada. It's totally acceptable in Australia. It's totally acceptable in the United States. In Canada, they're yelling globalized intifada. In fact, they're yelling it around the world now. Globalized intifada. Let's take a look at globalization and intifada. Globalization of the intifada is random attacks on the Jewish community in order to terrorize the Jewish community so that they will pull their, I don't know, get rid of Israel, move out of Israel. That was the concept. Yasser Arafat came up with this concept that if we can't destroy Israel from the outside, we have to destroy them from the inside. So we have to go inside into the country, and we have to commit terror attacks in the country and have everyone so afraid to live there that they'll leave. So globalizing that means that Jews can't be safe anywhere in the world. And we see the results of this globalization. When you allow people to express these kind of ideas and you don't stop these kind of ideology from spreading, you start to see the results. It doesn't take very long. In this case, it took 14 months. And here we are seeing the results of globalizing intifada. In Montreal, we see the results. We see firebombed synagogues. This one was firebombed twice. There was another one that was firebombed once. We saw the Jewish Community Center, the Jewish Community Council, the Vadier, they were firebombed. We saw two schools shot at, one shot at twice. We saw random attacks on Jewish community, screaming, people running by screaming, you know, Free Palestine. We've had windows broken in synagogues, swastikas daubed on walls, Jewish students beaten up on campus. This has all happened in 14 months. It's been a 650% increase in anti-Jewish activity in Canada in 14 months since October 7th last year. Not only that, but attacks on the Jewish community, hateful attacks on the Jewish community, have been 70% of all hate crimes in Canada. We have a former justice minister who has a fatwa on his head, a death threat on his head, and is protected 24 hours by the RCMP. And we know that the RCMP recently caught two assassins sent by Iran to murder him. Now, wait a second. had Iran sent assassins to murder anybody else, like the prime minister, for instance, that would have been an international incident, wouldn't it? That would require a UN condemnation. That would require other countries condemning the act of trying to commit an assassination of a politician on foreign grounds. It would generate a lot of media attention. It would generate a lot of attention in general. The attack on Uri Kotler didn't even generate major headlines for more than one news cycle. So one day of headlines, and that was it. There was no more than that. Because he was a Jew. A prime minister that refuses to condemn anti-Jewish attacks. A prime minister that supports the protesters, supports Hamas and the protesters. It's obvious. And we have Jewish members of parliament that sit on his caucus, that still stay in his party, and still claim to support and represent the Jewish community. It's terrible. We are living in a terrible, terrible time. We are starting to see the beginnings of what we've seen before. And this is the importance of learning history, is that we understand the trends and we see what's happening. We see it coming from a mile away. We don't want to repeat of late 1930s and early 1940s. Nobody wants that. So we have to do something about it. When you see it coming from a mile away, you have to stand up and say, never again, and you have to mean it. We're seeing it coming from a mile away. We saw the beginnings of it on October 7th with a genocidal attack on the Jewish community. Now, most people was look at me crazy saying, why was that a genocidal attack? How was that a genocidal attack? Well, there was no political motive for that attack. Terrorists came through the border of Gaza into Israel. They attacked towns and people who were sympathetic to their cause and killed 1,500 of them and took hundreds hostage. There was no doubt that if they were allowed to continue, if the army didn't show up and they were allowed to continue, they would have killed a lot more and taken over and murdered a lot more towns. They would have just kept going. Now, this attack had no way, there was no way that this attack was going to liberate Palestine, if that's what they were calling for, that's what they wanted. This attack wasn't going to overthrow the government. This attack wasn't going to destroy the Israeli army. The sole reason for this attack was to murder Jews. And so, that was the beginning of the current global intifada, where the only reason it exists is to murder Jews, is to hurt Jews, is to destroy Jews. Bombing a synagogue. And this is what gets me more than anything else when it comes to this topic. There are many people out there who say, I'm not anti-Jewish, I'm anti-Zionist, I'm not an anti-Jew, I love Jewish people. Many of my friends are Jewish, but I don't like Israel and I don't like Zionism. And yet they won't condemn a bombing of a synagogue or the shooting up of schools. Wait a second. If you are anti-Israel and not anti-Jewish, you should be repulsed by the indiscriminate attack on the Jewish people. This should be repulsive to you, as it should be to any moral, decent human being living in the world. It's a repulsive act of violence against innocent civilians who have nothing to do with what's going on in the Middle East. But these people remain silent. And they remain silent for a reason. It's not coincidental that these attacks happen and these people stay silent. They remain silent for a reason. They remain silent because they agree with the attack. Because their bias isn't against Israel and Zionists. No, 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 no. Their bias is against Jews. On one side of their mouth, it's dripping, "I hate Zionism." But on the other side of their mouth, it's dripping, "I hate Jews." And that's the problem. They're trying to mask anti-Zionism. They're trying to mask anti-Jewism with anti-Zionism. It doesn't work. We see through the mask. It's transparent. That's it for me. I'm Howie Silberger. Thank you so much for joining me. I do appreciate it. You could check out the rest of True Talk Radio's programming by going to truetalkradio.com and looking at the schedule. You could download the app from your favorite app store, the True Talk Radio Network app. And we have 24 hours of programming on truetalkradio.com. Until next show, I'll see you. Thank you so much for joining me. Have a great night.